Summer tourism is back on for some European travelers. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We start in Portugal, where today British travelers are allowed to travel for leisure and without mandatory quarantine. That's after the UK government added Portugal and 11 other nations to its so-called green travel list. The excitement to take an international trip once again was palpable this morning before some of the first flights out of Britain.
Travelling to Portugal, it's been a very long and hard year. I think I've had one day off work so far. It's been quite stressful. Lots of paperwork, COVID tests, expense. I don't think they've got the process nailed down yet, but they're doing all the right things.
I was at uni and I was like, I'm going on holiday, I'm not staying anymore.
The weather looks lovely in Portugal, so we've got a week of rain here and 26 degrees in Portugal, why not?
Those Portuguese temperatures are almost 80 degrees Fahrenheit, which to me sounds pretty good since it's pretty rainy and cold here in London. It's not just passengers eager to get the summer travel season into full swing, though, but businesses across Portugal are also looking forward to a bit more normalcy. The BBC's Nick Beek talked to several business owners, including a tour boat operator in the Algarve.
Half of all the tourists arriving at Faro Airport, about 40 minutes from where I'm talking to you today, they're British. And so to have those people back is really, really important because it sustains so many jobs, not just here on the beachfront, but also the big hotels and the tourist industry as a whole is so crucial to this part of the world, Algarve Coast, but also Portugal.
So clearly some optimism, but is there any sort of trepidation maybe? Because the state of COVID alert has been raised in Portugal. And at the start of the year, it had one of the highest COVID-19 infection rates in Europe. So how is the country making sure that they can keep the spread of the virus in check?
So that means COVID restrictions remain in place. For people arriving here, they will have to wear masks in public places, but they'll be able to eat inside restaurants, outside restaurants. They won't be able to party all through the night because they'll be shutting at 10:30, the restaurants, and, you know, the nightclubs still won't be open. But I think, yeah, they're cautious about making sure the numbers don't go up again because their vaccination rate isn't as quick as, say, in the United Kingdom.
And as you say, this will be a huge economic boost for the country. Do we know how much they're expecting from British travellers this summer season?
I was talking to a woman who runs a boat company and they take people out to try and spot some of the dolphins. And she said that 90% of her customers in a good year are British. And just listening to some of the tour operators, they're saying that it's in the hundreds rather than the thousands. So I don't think we've seen this amazing green light of a rush of people coming back. But bit by bit, people who obviously can afford it, because we know the price of holidays and flights have gone up. And also, Victor, I guess what's interesting is here in Portugal, they feel they've got a real advantage because they're on the UK's green list for travel. In other words, if you come to Portugal and go back home, you don't need to quarantine when you get back. Portugal has that, and the likes of Greece, Spain, Italy do not. And so I think they see this as a golden period here in Portugal where they can really make the most of having those extra visitors.
The BBC's Nick Beek for us in the Algarve. Thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks, Victoria.
Well, it's not just restrictions on tourism the British government has relaxed today. Hungry diners are also now allowed to eat inside restaurants for the first time in months, and gatherings of up to 30 people are also now allowed. But worries from the last week about whether inflation will force central banks around the world to raise interest rates sooner than expected are still keeping a lid on stock market gains today. Asian markets were mixed, while benchmarks across Europe are little changed. The sense of relief across Europe as COVID-19 restrictions continue to ease has been sharply contrasted by the crisis continuing to unfold across India. Large parts of that nation have extended their COVID-19 lockdowns. The country's hotels and restaurants have sent an urgent appeal for help to Prime Minister Narendra Modi, telling him the sector will completely crumble without immediate economic relief. The BBC's Nikhil Anamdar has more.
The apex industry body for hotels and restaurants here said that close to 75% or about $18 billion of revenue has been wiped off in the year 2020-21, and that the sector was on the verge of imminent collapse, with businesses closing down every day and unable to service debt obligations. And that's exactly why they're asking for immediate relief, including an extension of the moratorium on debt repayment and a waiver on interest costs, property taxes, among other things. This is a sector sector that contributes to about 10% of GDP and employs millions of informal workers, but is unlikely to get back up on its feet given the continuing lockdowns. How much the government can help is a big question, given its already stretched fiscal position. In Miraj, Maharashtra, I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anandar for Marketplace.
Amid the ongoing COVID-19 crisis in India, there's been focus on getting vaccine doses to the country's own population to control further spread of the virus. That has caused a supply kink for vaccines destined for COVAX. That's the international scheme set up to ensure equal access to coronavirus vaccines. Now it's 140 million doses short because its largest supplier, the Serum Institute of India, hasn't made any of its planned shipments since March. Leaders of UNICEF and the World Health Organization are now calling on powerful G7 nations to urgently share their surplus doses to ensure the global vaccine drive continues. The BBC's Tulip Mazumdar has more on that story.
The Serum Institute of India was due to supply around half of the 2 billion vaccine doses for COVAX this year, but nothing's been shipped for March, April or May, leaving a shortfall of around 140 million doses. This is expected to rise to 190 million by the end of June.
Unfortunately, we're in a situation where we just don't know when the next set of doses will materialise.
That's Gyan Gandhi, UNICEF's COVAX supply coordinator.
That raises questions about our hope is things will get back on track. But of course, the situation in India is uncertain itself. And that's why we are calling on higher income countries that have access to doses to start sharing those doses now.
But countries are not being forthcoming with donating doses. Data commissioned by UNICEF suggests that the rich G7 countries, as well as the EU, could make a big dent in the vaccine deficit in poorer countries by donating 20% of their supplies in June, July and August. This would free up around 153 million doses. So far, France is the only country to have already shipped vaccines in view of the crisis in India, pledging 500,000 doses by mid-June. Countries in Africa are some of the most reliant on doses through the COVAX scheme. Nations including Rwanda, Senegal and Ghana are now using some of their very last remaining doses.
My name is Dr. Richard Mihigo, coordinator for immunization and vaccine development for the regional office of WHO in Africa. It's very important that the global promise of solidarity, because unless we stop the transmission everywhere, it would be very difficult to end this pandemic, even in places where people have completed vaccinated.
New deals with different vaccine suppliers and manufacturers are also underway to try and get the COVAX scheme back on track. But right now, there is a gaping hole in supplies, which is threatening the global plan to end this pandemic.
The BBC's Tulip Mazumdar reporting there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.